Go ahead and get started. We're going to go ahead and read over the half Torah. We're going to back up some though and go into chapter 40 of Isaiah and just meditate on what the Father has for us tonight. I'm stepping out of one of my comfort zones and just been letting the Spirit administer to me throughout the week, reading over everything and put my notes aside and allowing the Spirit to do what He can do best. Well, we give the Father all the praise and the glory, and we go into His Word. So Isaiah chapter 40, verse 1 starts, "Comfort, comfort my people, says your Elohim. Speak to the heart of Jerusalem and cry out to her that her hard service is completed, that her crookedness is pardoned, that she has received from the hand of Jehovah double for all her sins." And right here, it already speaks volumes to the fact that if He's calling for comfort, comfort for His people, usually comfort is something that is established after disciplinary actions had to take place. Any good father, any good parent, whenever they have to proceed forth with any type of discipline to their child that they love and care about, they're naturally going to want to comfort them afterwards. And so I began to meditate upon my life and realized that all the turmoil that I've ever experienced in my life was more than likely due to a lack of discipline or a wanting of discipline or receiving discipline. And thankfully, we serve a Father that gives us everything that we need in our tool belt to receive discipline before He has to provide His hand for the discipline. And that's part of His mercy. We can see that He uses plenty of tools, and which has been completely edifying to my life to meditate upon the fact of the fire, the hammer, and the sword. Seeing those disciplinary tools in action, it's for our betterment to build us up. But there's certain things in our life that we have to tear down first. And on the note of discipline, let's go to Proverbs chapter 1 and read 1 through 7. In regards to discipline. And it says, "The Proverbs of Shlomo, son of David, sovereign of Israel. For knowing wisdom and discipline, for understanding the words of understanding, for receiving the discipline of wisdom, righteousness, right ruling, and straightness. For giving insight to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. The wise one hears, increases learning." And we know that we recently learned that in Hebrews chapter 5, those that become dull of hearing will not allow themselves to increase in learning. Because there's other matters of the flesh at hand that they would rather focus on. Now, I noticed in my life, every time I found myself in trouble, it was because of myself allowing to become dull of hearing. Now, what I found interesting about the account in Hebrews that speaks upon the fact that we can become dull of hearing is that we need to allow the word to pierce our ears so that way it can effectively cause us to increase in understanding so that way we can learn from the wrongs. Because if we deny discipline, if we deny the fact that we have to adhere to His word, then we're going to ultimately lead ourselves into a snare easily by the enemy. And it takes discipline and diligence to want these things. But it says, "The wise one hears and increases learning, and understanding one gets wise counsel. For understanding a proverb and a figure, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of Jehovah is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and discipline." And we can go ahead and go back to Isaiah chapter 40. But on the matter of fools despising discipline, I can literally look back at my life and realize that all the counts that I despise discipline, that I adhere to the flesh, I give my ear to the tickling messages of people that want to just lure you in so that way they can get their agenda, their cause, their mission, not orchestrated by the Father, to get you on their side. Because unfortunately, people get in a position to where they treat the things of Almighty Yah as a political campaign. It's about gathering numbers. And right now, be reminded of the fact that we learned a lot of this in the Torah portion, Korach. That we could see that if we adhere to our emotions and we keep appealing to the flesh and rejecting discipline and understanding who's the one that orchestrated discipline in the first place, we'll end up leading ourselves into a position that will cause more harm to our own lives and others that we say that we love and care about. And I never want to be in a position like that. I want to allow the Father to be able to speak through me and everything that He's poured into me. And I have come to receive because it takes discipline on a daily basis. I mean, if it was up to me, I'd be a couch potato. I'd be that introvert at home. But that's what I once was. That's what I once was. And the choice was given to me. I could either choose life or death. And quite frankly, we know the matters of the flesh is on its way out. This life is very temporary. And we know that we can either be rooted with the roots of a terebinth tree or the grass and flowers of the field. That's easily uprooted the minute the Ruach speaks and the wind comes, trial and tribulation comes. But we'll see that further as we read. Resuming on Isaiah chapter 40, verse 4, it states, Verse 3. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of Yehovah, make straight the desert and a highway for our Elohim. And ultimately, this should remind us of Yochanan, the immerser. Prepare the way for Yeshua, the Messiah, the promised one, to come and establish the things that we were not able to do. These are the matters that He took on. He took on these burdens for us, so that way we can continue. And ultimately, we know Father Abraham. He established the way through the blood trail for the Father to walk through. And we see these parallels that we line up and match up and realize that all these matters are for us to see, to be able to understand that we can walk these things out ourselves in our life. If we get rid of any of it, either side, then it leaves us without. But it continues to say, let every valley be raised and every mountain and hill be made low. And steep ground shall become level and rough places smooth. He levels the playing field. Where man feels like they can justify their actions and their causes on emotional judgment, it's nothing compared to the fact that the Father is the one that literally causes everything to be laid level. Us in our own understanding and our judgment, it doesn't even compare to the Father. And the esteem of Yehovah shall be revealed. If a matter of His glory needs to be revealed, that means it was concealed. And we know that 3/4 of the Bible that most of the world wants to reject and throw away conceals the matters that He has revealed through His Son. And we're being blessed with that. We're being blessed with that knowledge, that understanding, as long as we show up for the right reasons and listen for the right reasons. Because if we're just treating this like another thing on our to-do list throughout the week, because we become habitual, we like habits, then it's going to do no justice, it serve no justice for us, and then the Father's not going to be able to accomplish what He wants for us in our lives. The voice said, cry out. And all flesh together shall see it, for the mouth of Yehovah has spoken. The voice said, cry out. And he said, what do I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its loving commitment is like the flower of the field. Grass shall wither, the flower shall fade. And when the Spirit of Yehovah has blown on it, truly the people is grass. Grass shall wither, the flower shall fade, but the word of our Elohim stands forever. And that's the beauty of the fact that the choice is literally up to us. we can put ourselves in a position where there's not much discipline, put it on cruise control, easy street, allow the flesh to have all the excuses in the world, and not be firmly rooted. He wants us firmly rooted. And we learn that in this Torah portion with Abraham. He told him to meet at the terebinth tree of Moreh, the mighty teacher, the voice of the mighty teacher. And we have a mighty teacher established from Genesis to Revelations. The Father has every bit of this for us to keep in our lives. And I appreciate having that. I appreciate being able to have a place in my life where I can go to the terebinth tree that he placed and learn and become well-rooted. So that way, whenever the Ruach speaks, whenever the winds and trials and tribulations, the testing time comes, I'll be able to withstand it. Because he wants to know what we're made out of. He wants to know if we're taking this seriously. And the way that he does these tests, it might be very uncomfortable, but we can't forget the Almighty El that stands beside us in every trial and test that's being brought forth. Because he knows it's not too much for us. And I'm going to continue to stand on the word of Elohim forever. I'm going to continue to let him mold and shape me into the man that he wants me to be. And you know, I can relate to Abraham and the fact of being tested in patience. Patience is one of the hardest things that I've ever had a battle with, in all honesty, in all matters of my life. Even serving the Father. I want skip all the way to the end, but none of the discipline in between. Or I should say the flesh wants. But the Spirit knows. It takes time, consistency, and the willingly have our ears available to be pierced by the Word. To let that fire burn up the dross and let that hammer shatter the stubbornness of man's heart. And before I continue, I can attest to the fact that before this walk began with me coming here, I remember sitting on my grandmother's porch in Buras. I opened my New American Standard Bible because I was trying to figure things out. And the very first scripture I ever read was in Matthew chapter 7. And we can go there real quick. Thank you, Father. Verses 12 to 14. Now, of course, this is a different translation, but there's really no other way you can put this part of Scripture. Therefore, whatever you wish men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the Torah and the prophets. Enter in through the narrow gate, because the gate is wide, and the way is broad that leads to destruction. And there are many who enter through it. And I remember reading that verse, and I hurried up and closed the Bible. I didn't know what conviction was, but all I knew was that this journey I'm going down, it's not going to be an easy one. But then I realized, what's on the other side of lack of discipline? What's on the other side that I came from? The so-called freedom mindset of the world. And I can tell you, even in my suffering, all I could do is edify him. Even through my suffering, the pain. It's not even the same what it once was before. But that's because I chose to get up day after day and keep pursuing him, even though at that time I had no idea what I was doing. I read this and I thought, it's going to be hard-pressed, just like the next verse says. This is not going to just be some easy thing. And I remember weeping on that porch and crying, not knowing how to pray, just saying, God, I want to sign up for Team Jesus. That was literally my words. I don't know how this works. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't even know if this makes sense what I'm doing. But the reason I bring that up for the example of wanting to discipline myself It's because if we cast out everything that he's been pouring into our life, there's only one thing waiting on the other side, and it's destruction. And sure, we can find things, little catchphrases here and there, little motivational speeches here and there, things that make us feel good in the moment. But I was so done living my life moment to moment. And I always say, I don't know what the Father has in store for me and my wife in the future. But I do know. It's an expected outcome. It's a future filled with promises. And I'm looking forward to everything he has. But it also says, because the gate is narrow and the way is hard-pressed. And we could literally see that, witness that in our walk personally. Because we live in a world full of falsity, full of idol worship, full of worshiping routines and daily chores, just daily things, every day. We have to be willing to allow ourselves to be molded, impressed, and formed into the image and likeness of Elohim. It leads to life, and there are few who find it. We're back to Isaiah chapter 40, resuming on verse 9. You who bring good news to Zion, the Besorah, get up into the high mountain. You who bring good news to Yerushalayim, lift up your voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say to the cities of Yehudah, see your Elohim. And this is speaking of Yeshua, and this reminds me of the Sermon on the Mount. There were so many blind because of the traditions and the dogmas of men that they could not see their Elohim. They didn't get to know him the way that Elohim wants us to know him. There's a way to a man that he thinks is right, but it's wrong. And we got ourselves tasked in this short life to make sure that we stay positioned properly and don't give it up for anything, to make it down the path that leads to righteousness, that leads to the promises. Because we can't just be doing this just because. There's so much more to this, to living, than this life. And I hold on to that. And if anyone stands in my way for that, they're standing in the way of the Elohim I serve. I'm not puffed up and prideful and arrogant like I used to be. I'm learning how to let him fight my battles. Because a lot of the hurt that I used to deal with is because of the way I would deal with people. There's a reason that he says vengeance is his. If he's given me the power to forgive, pray, and move forward, then I'm going to choose that every time. I have to, because I know destruction's on the other side of that, because destruction's easy. Getting fleshly is easy, but that's what it leads to, is destruction. And many of people go down that way because they want to exalt themselves instead of allow the Father to level the playing field and get everybody to realize that we're not all what we can work ourselves up to think that we can be. And I'm thankful for his humbling and his exalting. See, the Master, Yehovah, comes with strength, and his arm rules for him. And we know his arm is Yeshua, our Messiah, the extension, his extending his grace and his mercy for our salvation's sake. His reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He feeds his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs with his arm and carries them in his bosom, gently leading those who are with young. And when I read this verse, I was reminded of King David, whenever he was still shepherding the flock in the fields before he was exalted into his anointed position. It said that he would grab the lions by their mane that were going after his sheep and cracked their skull. That level of boldness, it's not even something you could find on YouTube. But in reality, that's the spiritual boldness that we have to have and realize, especially the leaders. And whenever the enemy is crouching at the door like that lion, waiting to snatch up a lamb, we have to continually remember the Father's word that he's pouring into us daily, so that way we can be ready for that. So that way we can know beforehand, before it's too late. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and measured the heavens with a span and contained the dust of the earth in a measure and weighed the mountains and scaled the hills in a balance? Who has meted out the spirit of Jehovah? Or as his counselor taught him? There's literally so many people out there that I pray that I never fall to that delusion, because I don't think people really genuinely understand the depth of what happens whenever they take the glory away, try and take the glory away from the Father. I've had people in my past life tell me what I can't do. I've had people tell me that I can't. You'll never own up to this. You'll never do this. And it weighed on me. But now I have a Father that tells me that I can. So whenever people approach me and tell me that I can't, and they try and pass the blame upon someone else on why I'm where I'm at, I don't think the individual really understands that they're trying to take the glory away from Christ and the Father, the ones that orchestrated my life all the way up until where I'm at now. And I'm going to stand on him, and I'm going to do it boldly, but not pridefully. Because I know the Father that I serve, and he does not want me to have a fear or give that fear to man. He deserves the reverence, because he's the one that has the final say-so. With whom did he take counsel? Who instructed him and taught him the path of right ruling? Who taught him knowledge? Who showed him the way of understanding? See, nations are a drop in a bucket and reckon as dust on the balance. See, he lifts up isles as fine dust. Nations have come and gone since the beginning. And all the brick building foundations have fallen. We have to trust in the Father and his pattern, his blueprint, and the way that he wants us to learn. And I will continue to do that, because he so sees fit, even if the land exists where those nations build their foundations at. And Lebanon is not enough to burn, nor is beast enough for an ascending offering. All nations before him are as non-entity. They're non-existent. And they are reckoned by him as less than a speck, an emptiness. And this reminds me that every knee shall bow. The day is coming. When? I don't know. But I should be serving him like it's going to be tomorrow. And to whom would you liken El? And what likeness would you compare to him? The workman molds a graven image. The goldsmith overspreads it with gold. And the silversmith casts silver chains. He is too poor for such an offering, chooses a tree that does not rot. He seeks for himself a skilled craftsman to prepare to carve image that does not totter. The matters of man with our hands cannot make a single object on this earth that can outshine or outglorify the Father that's made us. And we should always remember that and give him the reverence and fear. And our willingness to adhere to his discipline and his word and the way that he has administered it into our lives, will determine if we actually glorify Him the way that we say we do. And this could be challenging. I mean, every day I'm met with a decision if I'm either going to choose life or death. And the days that I choose death, it just kind of blows my mind. But thankfully, His mercy and His grace is sufficient enough for me. But because grace aboundeth much, should I sin? God forbid, no. Did you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been declared to you from the beginning? Have you not understood the foundations of the earth? It is He who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heaven like a curtain and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in. You know, Abraham had his moments, just like we all do, to where we kind of forget. And we could see in his life the different levels of his walk and the amount of faith he had. But we know we serve an Elohim that sees all and knows all and observes us like the grasshoppers of the field, like an observatory, seeing every little thing going on. There's nothing in our lives that we're doing that He doesn't see. We might be able to fool one another at times, but ultimately, thankfully, He's the judge of those matters, but all things that are done in the dark will come to light. And that's something convicting words if a person is entertaining any sowing of discord among the brethren in any way, shape, or form that may be, or how it may look like. We should never incline our ear to the whispers of Hasatan. But the only way we'll know the difference is if we're making sure we're meeting underneath the right terebinth tree. If we're actually genuinely in this to help one another make it. Because I don't just come here for me. I don't. Because it would be very obvious if I did. I care about the family that the Father Yah has given me. And it pains me whenever discord happens, but I know those things are not of the Father. And we can be subjected to that if we don't discipline ourselves accordingly to His Word. And it should be motivating our life to dig in, to devote our lives daily to meet with Him. Who brings princes to naught? Verse 23. Shall make the rulers of the earth as emptiness. Hardly have they been planted. Hardly have they been sown. Hardly has their stock taken root in the earth. When He shall blow on them, and they wither, and a whirlwind take them away like stubble. And that's why it's so important for us to make sure our roots are getting deep. It's uncomfortable to go deep into the Word. Just to get to the parts and the levels where you might hit a hard spot. And you have to grow around it and realize that you can go deeper. It was my willingness to stick it out. I remember early in my walk, figuring these things out, showing up to services and not having an idea what was going on, literally sweating profusely back there. That's the original spot. I remember where I sat. But that's because the fire, the hammer, and the sword was always prevalent, no matter where our understanding was. And that takes a level of commitment and passion that I aspired to. Because quite frankly, when I'm up here, I want to be able to allow Him to pour out of me everything. Everything. No matter what that looks like. And my willingness to consistently put aside the flesh and allow the Father to do what He's going to do in my life, I know will be, it won't be for naught. The Father will see fit and continue to build me up. Because I was once told that I was a prisoner of my mind, and I was 100% correct. And now I'm free. This is the true freedom. Because freedom to do whatever you want is not real freedom. Freedom to do whatever you want is anarchy. It's a life without law. It's rebellious in its spirit. Mm-hmm. And we have to be willing to subject ourselves and discipline the flesh so we don't get to miss out on the goodness in the end. So everything that we've been suffering through was not for nothing. Because this life yields a lot of suffering. But once again, we are the body of Messiah. We have the ability to build one another up. We have the ability to take upon the burdens of our brethren and sisters and go before the Father in prayer and supplication in the same way that Messiah did whenever he was here, so he showed us what it looked like to walk out the word that still stands to this day. Because it said that the word of Elohim shall last forever. And to whom then do you liken me? Or to whom am I compared? Says the set apart one. Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these. And as it says, lift up your eyes on high and see, I'm reminded of whenever Messiah and the disciples had 5,000 men and their families, and what they thought was not enough bread and fish to sustain them. But what did our Messiah do? He took them and he looked up in prayer. He lifted his eyes up. The Messiah wielded the power of the Father. He could have kept his eyes down right at that. He could have showed everybody the Father's power through him. But instead, he took that moment to show and remind everyone where the power comes from. Mm-hmm. Is this how we posture ourselves in life? Or are we too busy with this? Or too busy looking down this way? Nothing's too much for our Father. And as I read this, it completely shouts the fact that he doesn't share his glory with anyone in the sense of those trying to take it. But we can be a part of his glory. He is bringing out their host by number. He calls them all by name, by the greatness of ability and potent of power. A man is not lacking. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel? My way is hidden from Jehovah, and my rights are overlooked by Elohim. No matter what we do, O Maria witnesses all. And even though it feels sometimes in our life that certain things are going unaccounted for, we feel like we're missing out, our rights are not overlooked. Because he appeals to the flesh and the spirit. O Jacob and O Israel. Did you not know, have you not heard, the everlasting Elohim, Jehovah, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even youth shall faint and be weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who wait on Jehovah renew their strength. They raise up the wing like eagles. They run and are not weary. They walk and do not faint. The key word is to wait. And we could see in Abraham's life, time and time again, he was being tested in the waiting. And there's so many times in my life, I could feel him testing and waiting. But I have to be willing to show up. I have to be willing to wait. Because if I jump ship or jump the gun on anything, I might get myself in a position that might be hard to recover from. But I know the Elohim that I serve. He's merciful. He's merciful to all those that might end up getting themselves into that position. But it's still up to us with our God-given free will to either choose life or death. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 1. Be silent before me, you coastlands, and let peoples renew their power. Let them come near, then let them speak. Let us come together for right ruling. And as he hushes the coastlands, Father Yah gave me the imagery of this great body of water trying to get itself past the coastlands. And we know that the word could be likened unto water. It washes us, it cleanses us. If there are objects in our life that are choosing to be coastlands, that's trying to withhold the water, then we have to be willing to allow the water to still come in anyway. We have to make sure we put ourselves in a position to receive the water and not be completely blocked off by any objects that are trying to prevent us from wanting to continue to be cleansed by the washing of His Word. Who raised up righteousness from the east, called him to his foot, gave the nations before him, and made sovereigns submit to him. He gave them as the dust to his sword, as driven stubble to his bow. He pursued them, passed over in safety by a path that he had not gone with his feet. We have to allow the Father to go places that to us would be completely foreign, for us that we would be completely terrified of. But the Father is willing to go that distance with us and for us. We just have to allow Him. Because there is an opposition that pursues. But once again, it's all up to the Father. We have to be willing to subject ourselves to allow Him to handle those things. Who has performed and done it? Calling the generations from the beginning. I, Yehovah, am the first, and with the last I am He. And if anything, this reminds me of El Shaddai. That power and weight that He carries with Him. He is the beginning and the end, the Alpha and Omega, and the Aleph and the Tav. We have to respect the fact that He is the only one that can guide our footsteps when we go out and when we come in. Coastlands see it and fear. The ends of the earth are afraid. They draw near and come. Everyone helps his neighbor and says to his brother, be strong. Chazak. We should encourage one another and know the Elohim that we serve. And the craftsman strengthens the goldsmith, and he who smooths the hammer with the hammer inspires him to strike. And the craftsman strengthens the goldsmith, and he who smooths with the hammer inspires him who strikes the anvil, saying of the joining, it is good. And he strengthens it with nails so it does not totter. Now, I just want to testify to this, reminding me of the fact that Father Yah has put someone in my life that's willing to wield the hammer. And it motivates me and inspires me to strike the anvil whenever it's time for me to strike. But of course, we would have to be in unison and on the same page. Because if we don't receive the same discipline, then there's a natural drifting apart that takes place. And we've seen it time and time again in our lives. Whenever the weariness sets in. Because it really doesn't take discipline to look at another and want to be the one to hit them with the hammer just because. It doesn't take discipline to do that. Now, we are to adhere to one another within the body. We're supposed to correct when corrections need it. We're supposed to be here for one another. But in a way that is fruitful. How we wield what Almighty Yah has given us to wield, it will be measured out back to us. But you, Israel, are my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen. You know, for us to be grafted in to the family of Israel, we have to be a servant. There's no ands, ifs, or buts about it. Almighty Yah has established from the foundations what He likes and what He dislikes. And if we're going to be that good and faithful servant and hear the words, well done, then there's something that we have to do well to be able to be that good and faithful servant. And even in our flesh, Yaakov, whom I've chosen. It's no coincidence that we're here. Out of everything that has taken place in our life. I consider that a privilege to know now that literally my steps have been orchestrated by the Father. And He has led me to a position to where I could choose if I want to serve Him daily. And it's like I said before, when am I going to go? Go back to a life with no discipline? That's not even, in my humble opinion, that's not even a life worth living. Because I didn't have no appreciation for it before I began this walk. So I enjoy the discipline. I enjoy the reproof. I enjoy the fire, the hammer, and the sword. Because it's what's sustaining me. It's what's keeping me. And it should be keeping us. We put ourselves in a position to where if everybody just gets along, or fake it till you make it is what it really is, we're getting nowhere. There's no growth in that. My personal journey, I could testify to the fact I'm not as fake as I used to be. Because I was faking it just to please people. Because I didn't appreciate myself so much that I thrived off the other people's appreciation for me. But now I can rise up daily knowing that my service to the Father is enough to please Him as long as I'm doing accordingly to His word. As long as I'm willing and able to endure whatever reproof He has for me in my life, because I know I need a ton of it. If I stood up here and acted as if I was perfect, I'd be a liar. But I'm striving for perfection. And He gives us the tools for that. But it's like anything else in my life that I previously partaked in. I used to fight. I used to train. I used to do all these things consistently. But it took dedication and a willingness to show up and train and be subjected to the material that I needed to become successful. To be able to use it when a time and situation called for it. Well, now I'm being trained up in a way that I can deal with life properly. That I'm not flying off of the handle at some little emotion that I had. That I know that I serve an almighty El that has the power to withhold and release and do all these things that I need not to worry about. Because my refuge is in Him. Whom I've strengthened from the ends of the earth. Let me back up. The descendants of Abraham who love me. It's important to know that there is a covenant established and maintained and completed by Messiah, for us to be able to be a part of. And that's how we can obtain the love of the Father, is obeying his commands. Whom I've strengthened from the ends of the earth and called from its furthest parts, and said to you, you are my servant. I have chosen you and have not rejected you. Quite frankly, if we put ourselves in a position to please man and to be a servant to man, you feel chosen for a moment until they use you and then reject you. And if we're putting ourselves in a position like that, then we're really not truly servants of the Father. Because you can't be servants of both. You can only choose one. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not look around, for I'm your Elohim. Covetingness is a big problem. Because these, just because we have them and can use them, doesn't mean we should allow them to get us into any other troubles. The Father wants us straight and narrow, focused on him, what he has for us, what he established for us, from the feast to the keeping of the commands, to looking at his all the appointed times of Moedim, the Sabbath, it all matters. And we are privileged to be able to partake in that. Because there was a covenant established that comes as a bundle package with that. If we start taking away from the bundle, it's like taking away from the foundation of a building, it will collapse. And we know that Messiah is detrimental to the building process because he is the chief cornerstone that was rejected by man, but not by Elohim, and neither by his chosen people. Do not look around, for I am your Elohim. I shall fortify you, I shall also help you, I shall also uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. Yeshua HaMashiach, the chief cornerstone. See, all those who raged against you are ashamed and blush. The Father's going to set everything straight. He always does. We just have to maintain composure in life, for any matter. They are as non-existent. It's not even worth the time of day. We have much more important matters to press forward to. The men who strive with you perish. And that's something very important to remember in our short time here. If there's any opposition that is trying to get in the way of what the Father wants for our lives, we got to remember that Elohim is the one that doesn't perish. We should put ourselves in a position to where we're constantly under his protection at all times. But that takes discipline. You seek them, but do not find them, those who you struggle with. Those who fight you are as non-existent as not. For I, Yehovah your Elohim, am strengthening your right hand, saying to you, do not fear, I shall help you. Do not fear, you worm Yaakov, you men of Israel, I shall help you, declares Yehovah your Redeemer, the set apart one of Israel. And I thought it was interesting that the terminology there is, do not fear, you worm Yaakov. But then as I was meditating on that, the very first thing that was given to me was a very literal and easy and practical thing, is the fact that nightcrawlers, worms, associate with dust, with dirt, with the very material that our flesh is made up of. So if we sow to the flesh, we reap corruption. And the worms will eat away at the things that we thought was so important. But you men of Israel, I shall help you, declares Yehovah and your Redeemer, the set-apart one of Israel. See, I shall make you into a new threshing sledge with sharp teeth. That sounds like something real nice to find at Home Depot. It's a very useful tool that he is turning us into, because there is something that he wants to do in our lives, especially as restorers of a breach. Let you thresh mountains and beat them small, and make hills like chaff. All the matters of this world that have been elevated and impressed by man, he will use his people as examples. He will mold us as disciplined students of his word, so that way we can be used as the tools that he needs to level the playing field, because that's what's still happening here. So yeah, when we first spoke about it, he showed how he leveled it for us, and he's now reminding us that he can use us in that process of leveling the playing field. Because there's a lot of doctrine, there's a lot of falseness out there that we are batted up against. It's not a hatred towards a people. Because we know we were once deceived in our lives. But there has to be a willingness within us to put aside those things and become the tool that he needs to level the playing field. You winnow them, the wind lifts them up, and the whirlwind scatters them. So literally, after it's been leveled out, take the pitchforks, winnow them up, then the Ruach comes in and removes the rest. That's all of the things that he wants removed. There's things in this life that are literally just going to be once completely forgotten about, and that we need to make sure that we're not part of that cleansing process. But you rejoice in Jehovah and boast in the set-apart one of Israel. When the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongues have failed for thirst, I, Jehovah, do answer them. I, the Elohim of Israel, do not forsake them. I went a verse further to just edify the fact that he is a merciful Father. And those seeking for the water in their life that need it, he will make sure they have it. And with that being said, let's go to Luke chapter 16. This is something I had brought up at a previous Bible study last week, briefly. But this time we're going to start, instead of verse 19, we'll start at verse 1, and we'll look at the contrast in the parables that Messiah was giving to his taught ones. Luke chapter 16, no problem. And he also said to his taught ones, there was a certain rich man who had a manager, and he was accused to him as wasting his possessions. So having called him, he said to him, what is this I hear about you? Give an account of your management, for you are no longer able to be manager. And the manager said within himself, what shall I do? For my master is taking managership away from me. I'm unable to dig. I'm ashamed to beg. Doesn't that sound very worldly? Getting people in a position of so much greed that they done forgot how to pay off their debts with hard work. And they're too prideful to humble themselves. The Father doesn't want us in a position to where we are in poor management. He wants his word and the treasures of his word managed properly. But of course, this is reflecting on the dishonest manager, which can be likened onto the people that neglect his word and mismanage his word. Because there's way more value than any rubies or gold, than the words that give us everlasting life. I know what I shall do. I guess I'm coming up with a grand scheme. That when I'm removed from managership, they might receive me into their houses. And calling every one of his master's debtors to him, he said to the first, "How much do you owe my master?" And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said to him, "Take your bill, sit down quickly, and write 50. So now he's forging paperwork. But that's another reflection of the fact that those that are poor at managing can infringe upon documentation. In the same sense that man can change the word of Yah and to fit to his advantage because he realizes that he's got trouble coming his way. But we should never be in a position to where we manipulate the word to our favor or forge anything that the Father set place. And to another he said, "How much do you owe?" And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said to him, "Take your bill and write 80. And the master praised the unrighteous manager because he had acted shrewdly, because the sons of this age are more shrewd in their generation than the sons of light. And I say to you, make friends with yourselves by unrighteous mammon, that when you fail, they shall receive you into everlasting dwellings." If someone's not going to commit to the Father, they might as well just completely commit to the other side, because that's all they're going to have left to lay their head upon at night. And there's plenty of people in the world that will act that way. "He who is trustworthy in what is least is trustworthy also in much. He who is unrighteous in what is least is unrighteous in also much. If therefore you have not been trustworthy in unrighteous mammon, who shall entrust you to the true? And if you have not been trustworthy in what's another man's, who shall give you what is of your own? No servant is able to serve two masters, for either he shall hate the one and love the other, or else he shall cling to one and despise the other. You are not able to serve Elohim and mammon." The personification of wealth can also be much more than just monetary and silver. There's people that take wealth and the advantage that they get with even things on along the line of preaching hyper grace, that all we needed was the sacrifice to salvation, and there's nothing that we have to do behind that. There's no wealth in that that's everlasting. It's only momentarily. Convincing yourself that you have more leeway to get away with things that you want to do. And that's a dangerous place to be in. And I want to avoid that as much as possible because I have a taste for discipline. I want discipline in my life because we know what the ladder leads to if we don't have it. And the Pharisees who loved silver also heard this and were sneering at him. And he said to them, "You are those who declare yourself righteous before men, but Elohim knows your hearts. Because what is highly thought among men is an abomination in the sight of Elohim." And that's why it matters so much more what the Father thinks and he has for us, and for us to know what he thinks and has for us, than it is to get puffed up in what we think is just enough for the moment, or what we think is right over the Father's word. "The Torah and the prophets are until Yohanan, since the reign of Elohim is being announced, and everyone is doing violence upon it. And it is easier for heaven and earth to pass away than from one tittle of the Torah to fall." And as has been said many of times, heaven and earth is still here. And at first, I thought verse 18 was kind of like sandwiched in between some parables and random. But in reality, it reminds me and it reflects continually on the fact that we are in a covenant relationship, a ketubah covenant, a marriage covenant. And he goes on to speak about divorce and remarriage, and everyone putting away his wife and marrying another commits adultery. Now, what's important is the putting away, but I plan on going into further detail in that in one of the teachings on marriage. And everyone marrying her who is put away, keyword, from her husband commits adultery. But there is a certain rich man who used to dress in purple and fine linen and live luxuriously every day. There was a certain beggar named Eleazar being covered with sores who was placed at his gate and longing to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Indeed, even the dogs came and licked his sores. Now, what's crazy about that imagery is at first I thought it was the dogs getting ready for supper. But in reality, the sad thing is that there's dogs out there that have more loyalty and care for human than people out there. Because it reminded me of when my grandfather had his dog. My grandfather would get these sores on his leg, and Dusty would go up and start licking it. And he was the one that taught me that animals do that for one another whenever they want to clean their wounds. And I was reminded of that in that moment. And in reflection to what's being said, if we put ourselves in a position without discipline and care more about the monetary things of this world, we're going to end up withholding what treasures the Father has given us to give to those in need outside of our gates. Because there are people out there that are suffering. And we're being poured into with the truth and all these wonderful things so that way we can actually give them solutions to their suffering. Because it's one thing to just heal a person and send them on their way, but the Messiah would do that and say, sin no more, and continue to teach the word of the Father. So that's the contrast I'm looking at. We could either get caught up in movements and moments and emotional monetary situations where we think we're just healing the people and being great to this one and great to that one. But where's the glory and edification of the Father in that? Sure, there can be a moment of prayer, a moment of shared testimony. But if we're not in a position to where we can actually break down the word and show people their Elohim in the same way Messiah opened the eyes of everyone of their Elohim to see the matters that were established, then it's just like that proverb. You give a man a fish to feed his family, you bring him in, then he has a meal for the day. But if you teach a man how to fish, he's able to provide and sustain his family. And that's the position that the Father wants us in, is to be able to have so much knowledge and understanding of how, so that way we can help people sustain their lives properly and not withhold the treasures that he's pouring into us. And it came to be that the beggar died and was carried by the messengers to the bosom of Abraham. And the rich man also died and was buried. And while suffering tortures in Sheol, having lifted up his eyes, he saw Abraham far away and Eleazar the beggar in his bosom. And crying out, he said, Father Abraham, have compassion on me. Send Eleazar to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am suffering in this flame. See, there comes a point in our life where while we can receive water, we need to receive it, because ultimately we'll end up in a position to where we don't get the benefit from it ever again, if we don't. And crying out, he said, verse 25, but Abraham said, son, remember that in your life you received your good. And likewise, Eleazar the evil. But now he is comforted and you are suffering. And besides all this, between us, you, and a great chasm has been set, so that those who wish to pass from here to there to you are unable, nor do those from there pass to us. And he said then, I beg you, Father, that you would send him to my father's house. For I have five brothers. Let him warn them, lest they also come to this place of torture. Abraham said to him, they have Moshe and the prophets. Let them hear them. Now this is Messiah given this parable. The living word. If he had no need for it, then why would he ever give it? That's a given. Because there's a direct connection that he wants us to see and understand. That we're covenanted through Abraham. And that we have Moshe and the prophets to learn of the Father. And we have Messiah who walked it out perfectly so we can see it in real-time examples. And he wants these things revealed to us so that way we can walk it out and pass it forward. And he said, no, Father Abraham, but if someone from the dead goes to them, they shall repent. But he said to them, if they do not hear Moshe and the prophets, neither would they be persuaded, even if one should rise from the dead. And unfortunately, that's the state that the world that we live in can also be. Because we all have one that raised from the dead. But not everyone adheres to Moshe and the prophets. And it's just the word at the end of the day. It's not my words. I just speak upon what the Father has for me, for all of us. But that's the conclusion of the Bible study.